Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. As I ended the program yesterday, I was speaking about Thanksgiving, and I want to follow it up by reading a brief section from a book that a couple of years ago I mentioned to you a number of times, and I repeat, it's a book by a woman whose name is Ann Voskamp. Ann Voskamp, V-V-O-S-K-A-M-P, Ann Voskamp. And the book is entitled 1,000 Gifts. 1,000 Gifts. It was a bestseller on the New York Times list. And it's a book that I would highly recommend that you get and read. It's called 1,000 Gifts. And in that book, she says this: a friend dared me to start counting 1,000 things I love. A friend. Sometimes you really have good friends, you know. A friend dared me to start counting 1,000 things I loved. I took the dare, accepted the challenge, kept track of 1,000 things, 1,000 gifts, 1,000 graces. Before I knew it, thankfulness to God began fully to change me. What I actually found startling was more daily wonder and surprising beauty than I ever expected. And in a few short years, the daily hunt for God's grace, His glory, had ushered me into a fuller life, a life of joy. This is a woman whose husband was a farmer. This is a woman who had a number of children, and she was homeschooling. So she was not sitting around just thanking God. She was living life to the full. What I actually found, I'm repeating this, startling, was more daily wonders and surprising beauty than I ever expected. And in a few short years, this daily hunt for God's grace, His glory, had ushered me into a fuller life, a life of joy. I decided to try to live this giving thanks as I believe Jesus did every day, regardless of his circumstances. And what I found was that in giving thanks for each moment and savoring it as bread from his hand, I'd find sustenance and the grace of God himself in that moment. Even when I am sometimes impatient or unwilling, when I face conflict and heartache, I've begun to accept that even the impossible is a possible opportunity to thank God, to find something in the midst. In other words, these are my words, to find something in the midst of the heartache that I can be grateful for. I've begun to accept that even the impossible is a possible opportunity to thank God, to experience the goodness and grace of the giver of all. There's always only more grace, and it's always more than I expect. And you, she's speaking to you now, who are listening to this program, and you in the midst, you in the mire, are you thinking about counting 1,000 gifts, about making your life all of joy in Christ, about loving God and enjoying Him forever? There is so much joy in seeing how he uses our simple act of noticing the blessings he bestows all around us to transform lives and the lives of those we touch. Praise him for the unexpected and the unlikely, for the daily and the difficult and the graces in disguise. The more you count, the more gifts you will see. Do not disdain the small. The moments add up, and we might come to believe it. The whole earth is full of his glory. Whatever you do, the practice is intended to be a way of cultivating a habit, of learning to live praise, to make gratitude and joy your default, to move Thanksgiving away from a holiday to a lifestyle, that all the days might be holy and set apart for real joy. God is waiting to reveal so much through your desire to know him more deeply and completely. That's a meditation. I'm going to repeat it in a week or two around the Feast of Thanksgiving. But I want you to hear what she said is that as I thank him for life, as I thank him, even in the midst of difficulties, there's always something to be grateful for. And as she began to practice that, she began to see so much more as the cause for Thanksgiving. And her life, her entire life, as you read her book, became reoriented. I think it's a great grace given through her revelation that God wants to give to each of us, that it might be incorporated in our lives in whatever ways he gives us wisdom to do. Today, we're going to take a look at the Book of Wisdom. And this is important. The Book of Wisdom, remember, wisdom is God sharing himself with us. The gift of wisdom comes through the Holy Spirit, but it is a gift that is given to us by God. And it's not wisdom about, well, how do I make this decision or that, although it can have an effect on that, a deep effect. But it's the wisdom we need to see God's perspective on life and to carry it out according to his will and plan. Then he's the source of all wisdom. And when we seek his will in every situation, as we reorient our priorities according to his will, it is amazing what happens for us. It's another cause for Thanksgiving. So let's take a look at the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7, beginning with verse 22 through the 8th chapter, the first verse. In wisdom is a spirit. In wisdom is a spirit. Intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, agile, clear, unstained, certain, not baneful, loving the good, keen, unhampered, beneficent, kindly, firm, secure, tranquil, all-powerful, all-seeing, and pervading all spirits, though they be intelligent, pure, and very subtle. For wisdom is mobile beyond all motion. This is God sharing himself with us, that we may know who we are, that we may know who he is, the way that we're to live in this world, and the way in which we will come to him for all eternity. That's real wisdom. And commandments help us to get on that course rightly. And believe me, brothers and sisters, it's a source of joy beyond anything that this world can offer. Pray for the gift of wisdom again and again. For wisdom is mobile beyond all motion. She penetrates and she pervades all things by reason of her purity. For she is an aura of the might of God. She is a pure effusion of the glory of the Almighty. Therefore, naught that is sullied enters into her. She is the refulgence of eternal light, the spotless mirror of the power of God, the image of his goodness. And we're told, brothers and sisters, in Isaiah chapter 11, the first verse, that wisdom is one of the gifts being given to us. We can actually share in the mind and heart of God by the grace of the Holy Spirit. It takes a very humble heart. It takes a humble heart to always render thanks, as we talked about yesterday. It takes a humble heart, even if we're highly intelligent, and especially if we're highly intelligent. This is not wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of heaven, and it's the wisdom for all eternity. God is the source of all wisdom. Think about that. She is the refulgence of eternal light, the spotless mirror of the power of God, the image of his goodness, and she who is one can do all things, and renews everything while herself perduring. And passing into holy souls from age to age, she produces friends of God and prophets. You want to be a friend of God. You really do. It's the safest, happiest place to be. For there is not God loves, be it not one who dwells with wisdom. For she is fairer than the sun and surpasses every constellation of the stars. Compared to light, she takes precedence, for that indeed night supplants. But wickedness prevails not over wisdom. Indeed, she reaches from end to end mightily. She governs all things well. The wisdom of God, brothers and sisters, can reorient your whole direction of life if you're willing to open your heart and your mind and your spirit to read the Word of God daily. Let Him show you what His priorities are. Let Him show you how He would act. Let Him show you how He has acted. Let Him show you what He wants of us, and He will give us everything to accomplish it. My goodness, does that lead to thanksgiving when we experience it. Seek for wisdom. Seek for that kind of wisdom. Psalm 119, your word is forever, O Lord. I'm not going to read it today, but what I want to say to you is pray Psalm 119's longest psalm in the Bible. Pray a section of it every day until you come to really love God's word as God wants you to, and as God offers it to you, that you, it's one of the ways by which we enter into the mind and the heart of God. We enter into His wisdom. You want it, brothers and sisters. It's not an optional extra. If you want heaven and you want eternal life with God, you want wisdom. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 25. Ask by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said in reply, the coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed. No one will announce, look, here it is or there it is, for the kingdom of God is among you. It's within you. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, look, there he is, or look, here he is. Don't go off. Do not run in pursuit. For just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation. Brothers and sisters, God is offering us wisdom. Sometimes people in their earnestness will try to tell you when the end of the world is coming. Don't get caught up in days and dates. Don't. Look at the world. Look at its sinful condition. Look at the state of your own soul and say, Lord, please have mercy upon us. And please reveal yourself to us in a way that's unmistakable, that will bring many back to you before it's too late. Pray for that. That's good to pray for. Something that will shake us up and make us seek after Him more thoroughly. Because, brothers and sisters, we need the wisdom of God far more than we need almost anything that we are asking for day after day. Please put first in your heart and prayer what's first in God's heart. He wants union with you. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.